So one of the main things you want to talk about, for example, I wanted to say to you is, how have you been affected by COVID? You've obviously had to go pretty well Zoom, digital, non-face-to-face. How have you coped with that?
Well, I mean, the funny thing is, we're quite a new centre in terms of the staff. We've been there, this is our 20th anniversary, as I mentioned to you before, but we're quite a new centre in terms of new staff, new appointees. And so we've been working all the way through, but we've had to adjust what we did, obviously. So yeah, we've gone to pretty much exclusively Zoom or telephone, because we have sort of different levels of what we do, but for our, we do one-to-one counselling. That's a big part of what we do. And, you know, that's been through Zoom. And actually, funny enough, some of them have worked quite well. Some of them have clearly worked extremely well. So we, all the one-to-one counselling has been done through Zoom. We haven't been able to do, because another big part of what we do is complementary therapy. So, you know, massages, that sort of thing. Haven't been able to do any of that, obviously. We have come up with, and I've actually tried it, strangely enough, because I kind of feel, you know, if I'm going out and telling everyone they should be getting checked out for cancer and this sort of thing, and come to us and get various treatments, and sorry, I don't mean treatments, I mean treatments to help them, you know, we're not claiming any great cancer cure or that sort of thing. That's not our remit at all, but, you know, to make them feel better. And I kind of felt, well, I should maybe try some of these. So I've actually done, and, you know, we offer one-to-one massage over Zoom and this sort of thing. So we've tried to, I think what we've done is tried to adjust what we're doing to suit the mechanism that we're using to deliver it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, one-to-one massage is nothing like a normal massage, nothing like it at all. But, you know, it's probably the best that we can achieve. So we've done counselling over Zoom. We're not able to do complementary therapies face-to-face. And I think we reopened for a couple of weeks, you know, in between the various lockdowns. But and I think complementary therapies restarted then. But for much of the time, we haven't been able to do any complementary therapies, really. Know that complementary therapists have been very frustrated by that. So that's where we sort of looked at what else we can do, and that's where self-massage has come in. We've been much more successful with, we offer workshops, which obviously we've been able to do pretty much all of them via Zoom. And we also offer group counselling sessions. So we have our patient support group, a support group for the bereaved, and we are starting a men's support group and are hoping to get that up and running. So it's that sort of level of, you know, just trying to do what we can in whatever way. Sorry, I did want to say we're running a befriending service, and that's a new service that we started during the lockdown. But that was always intended to be a telephone service. So we call people up and sort of speak to them on a weekly basis. And that's really just to help combat, you know, the isolation and loneliness that lots of people have been feeling. That's a service that's aimed at the 65 and overs.
And is that a one-to-one? So if you befriend somebody who's got cancer with somebody at the centre, will that always be the same relationship? Would you be the same person, or would it be different people?
No, it will be the same service, the same person. The way we're doing it is we've got volunteers who have been trained in befriending. And they're actually calling people up, but they will always call the same people. You know, they'll have I don't know exactly how they do it, but I think they have a sort of group of six people, or, you know, however many they're prepared to take on. And they'll make six phone calls, one every week for 6 weeks, or grouped however they like. But that's generally the way we envisage it going. And they'll phone them up and talk to them on a weekly basis, just really to help them have someone to speak to, which is surprisingly useful and surprisingly helpful. We have found really good feedback from that.
Yeah, I can imagine. And have you found, obviously, with COVID, I mean, cancer services have been hit quite hard by closure of general NHS services. So have you found there's a much increased demand for your help over the pandemic?
I think it would be fair to say that at the start of the pandemic, and I think this is for various reasons, we did notice quite a tail off, and people weren't going to get, you know, we only really come into it once people get a diagnosis. and people just weren't getting a diagnosis. So we noticed quite a drastic fall off on new people coming to the centre. But as, and it sounds it's terrible to say in this way, but as, you know, the pandemic's carried on, as the lockdowns have to a certain extent dragged on, people have started quite rightly, and you know, we would fully support this, they've started going back to and getting the investigations they always did do. And we've noticed a real pickup over the last few weeks in new registrants to our the centre. And, you know, people, and also there's been a sort of, I think a lot of people have started to realise that it's about the level of risk that you're willing to assume. And so people have started to feel, actually, the protection that lockdown is giving me is in some ways worse for me at the moment than, you know, than the effects of the isolation and loneliness, all the kind of the effects of that we've all, I think, experienced during the pandemic.
Interesting. And, sorry, I'm just interrupting because I'm going on. Think that people have actually been afraid? They've thought they've got symptoms, and they know they probably should get them checked out, but they've been afraid to go to a hospital, to go to a doctor for fear of catching COVID.
Well, I mean, I'm not a medically trained person at all, but yes, is the simple answer to that. I think that's undoubtedly been a factor in it. And you just talk to people and they sort of, they're very reluctant. I mean, we're in the grounds of a hospital, so we kind of see people coming in all the time, but it was deserted. I remember in the first lockdown, you know, no one was coming and people were still getting ill and still needing accidents, emergency, things like that. But no one would come in because, you know, they were petrified of this awful disease that was now starting to be known as COVID. So, yes, I mean, as a layman, I very much think that's been a factor.
And do you think now the vaccination program starting, do you think it's going to pick up more? People are now more confident that they can go out because obviously there'll be a fair few people in the vaccination group that would suffer possibly cancer, those sorts of ailments.
And those people have already received at least one of the vaccinations. Again, I mean, I'm a complete layman, but yes, I would certainly think that's going to be
counted as
that's a factor in them. Yeah. Exactly. And people are starting to come back. And, you know, and they're starting to notice worse effects. I mean, it's terrible, but I was listening to the radio the other a couple of weeks ago, and there was a woman on there who'd just been diagnosed with cancer, and it was at stage four, which is, you know, the terminal stage.
I know, it's A and B, isn't it? Stage four A and B. So, I know about it.
And there was nothing people could do. You know, there's no treatment she could get. And she noticed the possibly some of the symptoms of cancer 4 years before, but hadn't gone because she hadn't wanted to be told she'd got cancer. And, you know, I can understand that. I wish it was different. I wish people wouldn't do that. So I think that the pandemic has made that that sort of I can't think of the word, but they made that situation more common. But I think it was going on before then anyway.
There is cancer. There is a big fear of cancer. He was ill with the disease. There are some little warning signs that if you go along and get treated quickly, you know, your prognosis is good. But there is this fear. So I've noticed you've got your Bowel Cancer Awareness Month this month.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know this before I started this job, but almost every month has a different type of cancer awareness. Almost every month is a different type of cancer awareness month. And this April is bowel cancer.
Well, how would you help somebody if they were recently diagnosed with bowel cancer, even early stage?
Well, yes, absolutely. Well, funny enough, we are about to have a blog. I think it's going to go up on our website pretty soon. And it's done by someone called the Bowel Bloke. And he was actually diagnosed with bowel cancer. He set up his own charity and, you know, he talks about it on there. But in terms of, because bowel cancer is really quite a common form of cancer. So I'm just actually looking at because I have a series of presentations and they're quite useful for to access this sort of thing quite quickly. But yes, because I mean, cancer is remarkably prevalent. I mean, we've all seen the Stand Up to Cancer Bake Off series of programs. And, you know, they say one in two, and it's pretty frightening when you're talking about those sorts of things.
It is.
So the thing to look out for bowel with bowel cancer is basically if there's over a series, you know, a length of time, there's blood in your stools. That's the main thing to look out for. It's also whether there's a change in your normal toilet habits, things like diarrhea or constipation, that there doesn't seem to be any obvious reason for them, and it lasts for longer than 6 weeks. If you have unexplained weight loss, if you have a pain in your abdomen or your backside, if there's a general discomfort in your abdomen, such as feeling quite bloated, you know, cramps, that sort of thing, or you have a feeling of not emptying your bowels properly after going to the toilet, or, and this is quite a significant one, you have excessive fatigue or lethargy.
Yeah.
You know, just something that feels very unusual. And if you get any of those symptoms, my advice would very strongly be to go and get it checked out by a doctor. It probably, you know, won't be cancerous. It won't be anything to do with cancer, but, you know, I think it's significant. It's important enough that, you know, you should go and just see. No GP is going to, you know, tell you to get out of their surgery. No one's going to throw you out and tell you you're wasting their time. They'll check it out. You know, they'll see what it is and they'll advise you accordingly. I just think, you know, people do have to be aware. And I would hold my hands up and say I have been in the past someone who's been prone to this sort of thing. You kind of think, I don't really want to bother the GP. You know, I'll look silly if it doesn't turn out to be cancer or it doesn't turn out to be anything significant. I mean, it may not be cancerous as well, but it might be something else significant. But so I would say to people, do go and get it checked out if you have concerns. And I think the general advice that I would give is that if you have something that's going on for sort of 6 weeks or longer, you know, if there's anything of the type I've spoken about, that, you know, is going on for a significant period of time, go and talk to the GP.
Good, thank you. That's very, very wise advice, Tom. Lastly, obviously, birthday celebrations, they've been put on hold. But as for the Marlbury Centre itself, what would you like people to hear about the centre?
I think it's really what we can offer them, which is that we are a cancer information and support centre. So we're there to support people, and we do that in a variety of ways. We offer them drop-in or in-the-moment support. You know, if they go to the West Middlesex Hospital or any hospital and they get a diagnosis and they just think, I don't know, you know, I've just been told I've got cancer. I don't really understand what I've been told, what it means, all this sort of thing. They can telephone us or drop into our centre when we reopen and talk to someone right there and then. We offer counselling. We've already spoken about our one-to-one counselling. We also offer group sessions. We offer complementary therapies and wellbeing classes. We offer workshops on a variety of topics. The more social activities, we also offer those. Those are very well received and well attended. And we also offer welfare and benefits information.
Yeah.
So I think really what I would like to say is that it is our 20th anniversary. It's going to be a bit of, we're not really doing anything for our 20th anniversary, but we're going to do something for our 21st anniversary, which, as I do explain to people, it never gets a laugh. It's, you know, we can finally buy a drink in America. And I think that's a reason to celebrate, if nothing else.
I think it's a great reason to celebrate. I do think the social side of it is actually very important because, you know, when you have cancer, you sometimes think I'm the only one, but then you actually get together with other people who have cancer. You can share reactions to treatments. You can share experiences with the doctors in a group. Because sometimes when you're faced with a consultant who knows everything and you're sitting on that other side of the table and they're telling you about the medication they're going to use, they're trying to explain how they're going to do it. I know from personal experience sitting with somebody who has been diagnosed with cancer, and I went in with a pharmacist hat on, but I had to come out and I had to explain a lot of what the consultant said. So when people get together, I think it's very helpful that they can sort of compare notes. And sometimes they can go back to their doctor and say, well, actually, I did speak to so-and-so and they said so-and-so, and is this appropriate for me? But it's good to share that, isn't it?
Absolutely. No, absolutely. I agree. And I completely agree with what you just said as well. I mean, I'm surprised at the people join these groups and they say, oh, it's fantastic, allow me to do this, allow me to do that. If you're feeling a certain way, I have no doubt there is someone out there, and probably not too far away, who's feeling exactly the same thing. And, you know, we are sociable people. We do like to be sociable with other people. And I can also speak from personal experience that when you're given news like cancer, but when they tell you something that's really very significant for your health, you know, your ears kind of close up. You really don't hear anything beyond, you know, the headline. And that's at the point where a lot of doctors start to try and tell you all of the things you can do. And I think a lot of what we do and a lot of what we really help with is just saying, look, they'll have talked to you about the visits you'll be doing. So you'll have a series of, whether it be chemotherapy, radiotherapy, whatever, you'll have a series of appointments. It'll be for this sort of thing. You know, the people on our telephone lines and who you can speak to at our centre, a lot of them are volunteers, certainly the ones at the centre. People at the telephone lines have good experience of dealing with cancer, sometimes personally. Most of the volunteers have had cancer themselves, but, you know, certainly they have good experience of that.
Yeah.
And they can just explain it and just try and help. A lot of people say, when I came to your centre, I just didn't know what I was. I didn't know where I was. I'm still being told I had cancer, whatever type it was. And you just sat me down, gave me, you know, sometimes we just sit them down, give them a cup of coffee, and then just leave them on their own for a bit, just to process what they're doing. I mean, I don't know if you know the West Middlesex Hospital at all. Well, the West Middlesex is quite a busy hospital. And as with lots of London hospitals, it looks quite built up. You know, it's quite concrete heavy, as it were. But if you can see the photo, we've got a new logo, but that's a photo of our front entrance. And just behind that is a really nice sort of courtyard. Well, it's not a courtyard garden, yeah. Not in the estate agent meaning of the word. But, it, you know, there's grass and you can sit out there. And it is so peaceful. You go out and apart from the jumbo jets landing at Heathrow, yeah. Occasionally flying overhead, it's really peaceful. And it's just, you know, it's so nice just to wander in there and just, you know, you come from the bustle and the hurly-burly of the West Middlesex Hospital, and you just walk into this very peaceful.
Like it is an oasis. It's a lovely word to describe getting away and getting into an environment where you can just stop and possibly evaluate a load of information you've got, and then they can pop along to you and say, X, Y, Z, help explain. So, which is a lovely thing to do.